I'm here with Assemblymember Allegra's office. Also submitted a card for comment.
Okay. I missed that.
Okay. Why don't you come up?
Come up.
Is there anyone else here from a legislative office who wishes to address the board? Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Sergio Sanchez. I'm the district director for Assemblymember Luis Alejo. He represents the 28th Assembly District. I would respectfully would like to read a letter from him. He is at the Capitol today. I wish he could be here, but send me in his behalf. Dear Chairman Young, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to share my concerns regarding the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Board's proposed regulations as described in Agriculture Order dated November 19, 2010. As a representative of the 28th Assembly District, I'd like to share my concerns regarding the tremendous and devastating economic impact the proposed regulations will have on farmers and farm workers in my district. My district includes the counties of Monterey, Santa Cruz, San Benito, and Santa Clara, where agriculture is one of our main and most important industries. I have continued to hear from constituents throughout the 28th Assembly District, but especially from small farmers that currently are struggling to keep their farms afloat, and that it will be forced out of business if regulations are implemented as proposed by your staff. Since the last letter I wrote to you, Dr. Los Muertos has published a report that I believe presents a very, very reasonable alternative to addressing the water board and the agricultural community's concerns. I would like to share with you my support for the coalition's approach as outlined on Attachment B and in further detail in Dr. Los Huertos' presentation to you today. What I appreciate the most is about Dr. Los Huertos' proposal is that it provides smaller to medium growers who may fall into Tier 2 and 3 an opportunity to proactively work towards water quality solutions. The opportunity to work with scientists and grower peers in a collaborative watershed-focused program will empower those growers to work together to implement improved water quality management practices. My staff and I have received many calls from concerned farmers who are new to the farming community or have been farming for many years, but they just can't figure out how to comply with the tiering system the staff proposes. A coalition approach to addressing these important issues allows for a more efficient and a successful way of meeting water quality goals for the Central Coast. This approach encourages everyone to work together towards water quality solutions by empowering farmers, their employees, and the industry as a whole. Encouraging collaboration within the watersheds, making good use of science, technology, educating growers, and guiding the future of farming in the right direction while protecting the environment and the residents of our community. I encourage you to support this approach. Finally, I would like to request that any additional and useful information, such as Dr. Los Huertos' report, be included as part of the record. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to acknowledge Mr. Sanchez is also a city council member for the city of Salinas and well aware of the ag issues in this vicinity.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor.
Quick question. Is Dr. Los Huertos' report already part of the record?
No.
Has our board seen it?
Not yet.
Okay. Thank you.
That's part of what we're going to do today is to hear it. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Briggs, we have someone from Sam Farr's office. Yes.
Chairman, I just want to clarify that the written record was closed in January of 2011. You reopened the record to allow additional information in the record in May. There was an opportunity to comment on that additional information, and at this point the written record is now closed, and the notice for this workshop is that no additional written record will be allowed into the record. So even in the form of new slides are not supposed to be provided for this workshop without further permission by the board. So I just want to clarify that. So I don't know what Dr. Los Huertos is planning on presenting, but if it's a new report, it has not been accepted into the record. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
But does that prohibit verbal?
No, it does not.
Just written?
Correct.
I have a question, and it isn't. Or is there a connection between the alternative plans that were submitted and the work of Dr. Los Huertos that would allow the slides that he has to present and the information as a derivative of that.
If it's a summary or evaluation of things that's already been submitted, that's acceptable. And the reason that the record is now closed is the board chose to close the record, and to allow one person to now submit new things into the record It creates a due process problem, and it's not appropriate to allow one person to submit new information when the board has been clear that the record is closed. So
I do understand that. I just want to be sure that we consider that if this is linked to the alternative plan and provides more detail of something that's already been submitted in the record, that is something I think we need to consider. So that would be my comment.
Okay.
Chair Young, that would be my comment about Dr. Los Huertos' presentation today. I think it's a question we need to consider.
Well, I guess when he comes up, we'll find out
and just
what he intends to...
The other thing I wanted to point out is that this is a workshop. It's not the hearing. So people have the opportunity, and the point of it was to provide an opportunity to summarize what's already been submitted into the record so that the board members, particularly new board members, will be familiar with the record. So that's the point, that it's a workshop. It's not the hearing. And the hearing would be the opportunity to have responses to new, to oral presentations in the record. So...
Okay. Fran Spivey Weber is with us. She's the Vice Chair of the State Water Resources Control Board. And Fran, if you would like to take a seat in the front row, if there is a seat, is there one? I think there's one seat there.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. I saw you. Okay. Okay. Someone from Congressman Sam Farr's office.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Alec Arago. I'm the district director for Representative Sam Farr. He has had a keen interest in this issue for many years, and I'm going to elaborate on some comments he submitted to the record earlier this year. I think just very quickly, there's obviously a long history with both the problem. It's a long time in making. And in efforts to try to address it, Mr. Farr has been involved, going back to the mid-late 90s, in supporting the AQUA program, the Agriculture Water Quality Alliance, which sort of started with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Marine Sanctuary Program, and an effort to bring agriculture along into a collaborative process. That really started gaining momentum in the early part of the last decade, and really was going, it was really ultimately the basis of the 2004 waiver, and was going very strongly, and this current process has in part helped to put the brakes on it. But I think the point Mr. Farr is trying to make is that ultimately these kinds of problems, these landscape problems, are not solved by a very heavy-handed law enforcement type approach. Ultimately, I mean, that's important, obviously, if people are not coming along, but to solve it long term, it requires collaboration. If you look across the landscape of the United States and look at truly tremendous agriculture water quality problems that we see in Chesapeake Bay, Missouri River Basin, Mississippi River Basin, Ohio, all around, to try to solve those problems, USDA is looking at the kind of collaborative approach that was happening here. And in essence, what was going on here 10 years ago, it started 10, 15 years ago, is really the model to try to solve these problems on a much wider landscape. And unfortunately, what's the process as it's evolved over the last several years is really an example of how not to try to solve that problem across the rest of the United States. So we've sort of we're still a model. We're just, I think, from Mr. Farr's standpoint, we've been a model of how to solve this problem long term, and we're now perhaps a model of how not to. We'd like to go back to being a model of how to solve it in a long-term way, and so I think that's part of the frustration. This process has become very contentious where it didn't need to be. It's become less productive where it could have been more productive. I hope the board can find a way to get us back on a track where we're starting to see real improvements, where you involve agriculture. The process ultimately is about changing the culture on the ground. No amount of regulations make up for what the kind of decisions that a grower and their employees make on a day-to-day basis and what's embedded in the culture. And so ultimately it's bringing everybody along, and that's sort of the essence of what a couple of the letters he's shared with you. He feels very strongly about this, and I just wanted to share that. And thank the board for coming here to Salinas, and wish you luck on and success in making an effective decision. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Just a quick question for you.
Yes.
Does your office have any sense of problems with this specific tiered approach? I mean, what I heard from you is that there's been a sense of lack of collaboration. And if we go beyond that into maybe some of the specifics that staff has put up on the board in terms of what they're proposing for tiers 1, 2, and 3, does your office have a sense for what is heavy-handed, not doable, not necessary?
I think there's a sense coming out of the tiered approach. It's both in the facts or the particulars of the proposal and in how the dialogue has evolved to develop those two. I think, and sort of as a, you know, this is purely a state decision. It's influenced by the Clean Water Act, but ultimately the details are state decisions. It's not part of the federal government. Our office did not engage in this issue initially. We really only came to the table after, I heard one complaint, you know, it's a room full of farmers. Farmers complain. I mean, everybody knows that. two farmers, three complaints. But I think after about 50 or 60 complaints and complaints about this process that weren't coming from people I would expect to hear them from, but from conservation organizations, from people who've been involved in ag water quality, people who wouldn't openly complain about this. That says, all right, you know, there's some smoke here, and I'm hearing a lot of smoke. There's probably some fire here. That really engaged us, and so I think part of that was coming out of the process where dialogue wasn't happening. And I don't want to, you know, I'm giving a very impressionistic sense, but that is part of it. And it contrasted with the dialogue that was happening previously through the NRCS, the Marine Sanctuary Program, the multi-county Farm Bureau effort that had kind of come into a collaboration to try to tackle this. So on the one hand, we've been hearing, look, there's a lot of collaboration on this end, and then there's this other process over here, and sparks and flame are coming out of it. So why the contrast? Part of that was, I think, the quality of the dialogue, a sense on the part of the growing community that they weren't being listened to, the opinions weren't valued, et cetera. I think in terms of, Mr. Chairman, in terms of the specifics of the tiered plan, our office doesn't have a very detailed critique of that, partly because I think our interest has been to look at the higher level, so, you know, above the 10,000-foot level of this. I think the sense about the tiered approach is, I think it was reflected in some of the questions about numbers of acres. Is this an arbitrary approach? Does it reflect facts on the ground? Is this adaptive? Is it a mechanism that ultimately is designed to bring people along, change on-the-ground culture, or is it designed to be punitive? Is it designed to be adaptive to change the facts on the ground? Those are the kinds of, I think, issues that come to play, and other comments here today will speak to that, and I don't want to get into that. Just to say that I think those are the two issues that he's really heard and commented on, and it's that contrast between the success in the past and the kind of where we are now in this process that's drawn his attention.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like the current waiver has been acceptable.
The 2004?
Yes.
Yes.
Because that's essentially what staff is proposing for, like, a very large percentage of both acreage and farms.
Mm-hmm. But there's still a substantial percentage that's covered by the new proposal, and that doesn't exist in isolation. I mean, it's and again, I think other people will comment to it, but it's as a policy matter, it's a challenge to separate, take an entire productive system and sort of carve it out into little pieces and say, well, these aren't covered, they shouldn't worry, these pieces are. You know, it's an integrated system. It's one ecosystem, as it were, and so you can't piece it apart like that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay. Mr. Briggs?
So I think we should go to the organized agricultural presentation.
Excuse me, Chair. I think Senator Blakely's representative is now prepared.
Okay.
Sorry, I apologize. I was in another room making a copy of his statement for you.
Okay.
It's good to see everybody. I'm going to read a brief statement and provide a copy to the clerk.
Okay.
thank you for the opportunity to comment on the most recent iteration of the draft staff recommendations for the updated agricultural order. I appreciate the ongoing efforts of the board to hold public comment hearings and solicit input from the wide range of stakeholder groups. Consistent with these outreach activities and in furtherance of developing a robust and balanced program, I encourage the board to carefully review and consider the alternative approach outlined in a coalition-based farmer-focused water quality protection program commissioned by the Farmers for Water Quality. I believe that our water quality objectives, as evidenced by the 2004 Ag Order, are most likely to be achieved when regulated entities are partners in the development of programs and policies. While I do not believe the proposal contained in the current draft staff recommendations for an updated agricultural order represents a true partnership, I do believe there is yet time to develop a program that builds on a more collaborative approach, such as the alternative program outlined in a coalition-based farmer-focused water quality protection program. This alternative approach may provide a more rapid attainment of improved water quality, a reduced cost of compliance to the regulated entities, with attendant benefits to both local economies and jobs, a reduced potential for frivolous lawsuits, and a more collaborative working relationship between all the stakeholders and the board. For these reasons, I encourage the board and board staff to formally include the alternative program in the record and consider incorporating this approach into updated agricultural order.
Thank you for your comments. And your name was?
Hans Poschmann.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Poschmann.